Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Monday, November 13th. Week 10 almost in the books. Of course, one more game to go tonight, but I'm going to recap all the action from over the weekend on today's podcast, including all of the biggest takeaways, injuries, surprise performances, etc. And we're going to kick it off with a, well, pretty lackluster game in Germany. The Colts, of course, defeating the New England Patriots 10-6. Snooze fest here for sure. International games tend to go under. But anyway, let's focus on the Indy side first and foremost. Jonathan Taylor, the switch has officially flipped. It is over. It is his backfield. He played 89% of the offensive snaps, 48 snaps for him. Zach Moss, meanwhile, 8 snaps, which was just 15%. So Zach Moss has no independent value at this point. He's just a handcuff. If you have him and you don't have Jonathan Taylor, it might be in your best interest to try and trade him. You're not going to get much for him now to the Jonathan Taylor manager. But otherwise, Michael Pittman, another game with 8-plus receptions. He had 8 on the nose here for 84 yards. Not an amazing line, but I will take that. 7th game this season with 8-plus receptions. That leads the league. On the other side, yikes. Well, Mac Jones, it was not good. He had a couple really ugly throws in this one. He had a Rick Barry-esque, you know, shooting the underhanded free throw. He threw a pass that way, though, as he was being sacked. That was ugly. A couple other moments here as well. Now, the team did bring Bailey Zappe in towards the end of the game, and he did the fake spike thing, and it was worse than Mac Jones. So I have no idea what they're going to do here. But this team is very bad. They are 2-8 on the season. They have not started 2-8 since the 2000 season. They didn't have 8 losses in a season from 2001 to 2019, which is really hard to believe, but it's true in that Brady era. As far as the Patriots are concerned, DeMario Douglas is decent, 6-4, 84 on 9 targets. So he's going to be a, we'll talk about him tomorrow. And Ramondre Stevenson, for what it's worth, did have 23 touches, ran hard, 20 for 88 on the ground, 3 for 14 as a pass catcher. All right, let's move on to the next game here, which was a barn burner. Houston pulling out a big win over Cincinnati. Houston has been one of the most entertaining teams in the league to watch this season, and a big part of it is the play of rookie C.J. Stroud. The numbers are insane. You know, this is his third game with 350-plus. Obviously, he's done it in back-to-back games, but still, that is tied for the most all-time by a rookie. He has the 4th most passing yards through 9 career games in NFL history, 2,626. It's all clicking. Now, it wasn't a big touchdown game, but he did connect with Nathaniel Tank Dell, 6 for 56 and a score, 14 targets for Dell, though. That was really good with Nico Collins out. And we did get Robert Woods back, but wow, I guess C.J. Stroud really likes Noah Brown. 7 for 172 on 8 targets. The 3rd player in franchise history with 150-plus in consecutive games. The other two you've heard of, Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. They both did it twice. Now, it wasn't just these guys, though. It was also Devin Singletary, the 4th player in Houston history with 30-plus rushes, 150-plus rushing yards, and a touchdown in the same game. The other 3 players, Arian Foster, not too shabby, Dominic Williams. I had almost forgotten that guy even existed, but that brought me in the Wayback Machine there. And then Ron Dane was the 3rd. So Devin Singletary, massive performance. He may have, with this performance, launched himself ahead of Damian Pierce for good. We shall see. Pierce, of course, missing the last 2 games due to injury. Don't count those chickens before they're hatched, though. Of course, Joe Burrow still fine for fantasy, 347 and 2. Missing T. Higgins here, so he connected with Trenton Irwin early in the game, 2 for 54 in the touchdown for him. But it was a lot of Tyler Boyd, 8 for 117 on 12 targets. Boyd is somewhat widely available. I am going to talk about him tomorrow. Ja'Marr Chase plays through injury, guts it out, and still puts up a 100-yard performance, 5 for 124 and the score for him. So still decent. I know some people were a little bit nervous about using him. On to the next game, New Orleans, Minnesota. Minnesota rolling. 5 straight wins. Hopefully this means Justin Jefferson will be back this week. They have a 68% chance of making the postseason now. It once looked very bleak for them. But credit where credit's due to Josh Dobbs. 268 and a touchdown. Ran for a score as well. 8 for 44 and a touchdown. He's not your prototypical mobile quarterback, but you know he's kind of like sneaky good in that area. So he's going to retain fantasy value. I don't think he'll be quarterback one worthy, even with Jefferson back, but he's very much in that Superflex conversation and that fringe quarterback one conversation moving forward here. Of course, a lot of people were concerned about TJ Hawkinson. I guess that didn't work out. Hopefully you didn't not play him. Hopefully you played him if you roster him because he went bananas. 11 for 134 and a score for TJ Hawkinson here. Just an amazing game. Alexander Mattison concussed. Ty Chandler scored a rushing touchdown, but he didn't look particularly good. I don't know if this is going to be an extended absence because the team brought Myles Gaskin back. Myles Gaskin is just making his rounds around the NFL, but they brought him back. So we'll see here. I don't think Ty Chandler is that great of an ad, but we will have to talk about him tomorrow. On the other side, Derek Carr got hurt. The team is hopeful that this isn't going to be a long-term injury. It's a shoulder injury. Was also evaluated for a concussion. Jameis Winston came in and did what Jameis Winston does. He pushed the ball vertically, targeting Chris Olave frequently. Did throw 2 passing scores, but also threw 2 picks. Jameis. Taysom Hill came crashing back to earth. I had a lot of people pushing back when I was like, yo, this is Taysom Hill. This is Taysom Hill. Like last week I said, hey, any given week could be amazing, but he could also turn back into a pumpkin, and that's what he did here. 3 touches in this game. 2 for 17 as a pass catcher. 1 for 6 as a runner. Not great. But Alvin Kamara got back, you know, off the schneid a little bit from last week. It wasn't an amazing game, but he caught 7 for 33, so heavily involved there. 9 carries for 42 yards isn't anything to write home about, but he still did obviously lead the team in touches. Had 16 of them here. That's pretty solid. Michael Thomas banged up very early in this one. We saw A.T. Perry, the rookie, basically slide right into his role. He did score a touchdown, so depending on the extent of Thomas's injury, we may have A.T. Perry to look at here as well. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers holding off the Packers. The Packers played well here. I was pretty surprised at Jordan Love, at least in the first half. Second half was not good, but he goes 289 and 2. Those two go into Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs. Doubs is worth a roster spot, but man, it's just he's such a low ceiling. 3 for 31, had the touchdown, great. Christian Watson led the team in targets with 7, but only 2 for 23. Reed, we'll talk about tomorrow. He's shown this ceiling at various points during the course of the season. Aaron Jones comes back to earth in this matchup. Thought it was going to be okay for him. Ended up not being, but he did have 17 touches, so there is at least that. On the Pittsburgh side, both Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris touched the ball 18 times. Najee got in the end zone, but then so did Warren. And Warren had the 100-yard game. Najee just doesn't do those. He doesn't have 100-yard games. But still, both of them were solid. And that's good because nothing else was solid. Deontay Johnson back to earth with 1 for 17. George Pickens 3 for 45. Nothing was doing in that passing game. And I think that's just what we're going to see. A little bit of hit or miss with the passing game going forward. Not anything to panic over, but definitely something to be aware of. Tennessee, Tampa Bay. Tampa winning 20-6 here. They're not a bad team. I mean, they're not a good team, but in that division, they could win that division. It wouldn't surprise me if they beat out New Orleans in that division. And hey, when you have Mike Evans playing this way, 6 for 143 and a touchdown, could have had 2 touchdowns. He dropped an easy one. You also, Chris Godwin, I mean, the numbers have a little bit of a cap to him. Baker Mayfield obviously loves throwing to Mike Evans, but Godwin's still going to be in the wide receiver 3 conversation. He went 4 for 54 here. Rashad White, a classic Rashad White game. 20 for 51 on the ground, not good. Not good. But then he goes 2 for 47, has the long receiving touchdown. Okay, fine and dandy. That's why he's an RB2 every single week. On the other side, yeah, it wasn't a great performance for Will Levis. I'm not overly concerned here. He's going to remain the starter. He does have a nice high ceiling. I would love to see him get mobile here, start running a little bit. He has yet to do that fully since, you know, in these 3 starts. he's very capable of it. But for right now, a little bit of a cap on him. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins didn't have the game we thought he was going to have. 3 for 27 for him. Kyle Phillips, yet again, topping 60 receiving yards. Okay. He's not worth adding, though. He's not playing a full-time role. But obviously, he has some good chemistry there with Levis. Derrick Henry bottled up in this one. 11 for 24. Only caught one ball for -4 yards. So not a great outing for him in that very tough matchup. We have noted that over and over, how good Tampa is against the run. Okay, moving on to the next game on the list, San Francisco-Jacksonville, a statement game for the 49ers coming off a bye. The Jags had been rolling before their bye as well, but San Francisco 34-3. Brock Purdy with 3 passing scores, a long one, a 66-yarder to George Kittle. That explosive big play upside of his. 3 for 116 and a touchdown. Ho-hum. Brandon Ayuk, 3 for 55 and a score. It looked like it was going to be a bigger game for him early on. They didn't need him. So, okay. And Kyle Juszczyk had the 3rd touchdown. Of course, Deebo got in the end zone as well as a runner. 3 for 29 and a score there. Caught 4 for 30. It was just nice to see him back on the field, and the numbers aren't bad at all. Of course, Christian McCaffrey did not score, but he still had 22 touches. He had 6 catches for 47 yards, 16 for 95 on the ground. All was right with the world there. It was not a good outing for Trevor Lawrence. No doubt about it. And you could see it early on. There was the Chase Young Bosa sack, the Nick Bosa sack. He got clobbered there. It was a really tough matchup. And really the only player he was able to get anything going with was Christian Kirk, who had 6 for 104. Kirk's still just fine. Calvin Ridley, 3 for 20, or 2 for 20, 3 targets, 2 catches for 20 yards. So yeah, the Calvin Ridley thing, I think it's probably not happening. I mean, you know what it is. He's actually got more of a wide receiver 3 profile than a wide receiver 2 profile. He does have a high ceiling, but this is also his floor. It's extremely low. Travis Etienne, tough one here, 9 for 35 on the ground, caught 2 balls for 9 yards. He had almost 500 scrimmage yards in his previous 4 games, so he comes back to earth here. Better days will be ahead for this Jags offense. Cleveland and Baltimore, wow. The Browns trailed in this game for 59 minutes and 20 seconds. They only had the lead for 40 seconds in the game. That's insane. Like, they went down really quickly because of the pick 6, and they ended up winning this game. Like, the NFL is just wild. The NFL is absolutely wild. Yeah, okay, so the interception happened 34 seconds into the game, and 34 seconds into the game, and then at the very end of the game, they kicked the field goal to win. I mean, that is insane. So insane. A couple takeaways on the Browns side. We'll see what happens with just Deshaun Watson. He was seen in a walking boot after the game. He said he's going to be fine, but he's getting that looked at, so there is that. Amari Cooper continues to produce quietly. He's having a very good season yet again with the Browns. 6 for 98. He has 715 receiving yards on the season, looking at a back-to-back 1,000-yard campaign here, another 1,000-yarder from him, very likely. 5th game this season with 90-plus receiving yards. Jerome Ford is clearly the lead back for the Browns, but Kareem Hunt is going to continue to be used in short yardage situations, which sucks for Jerome Ford because he went out. He had his 2nd career 100-yard performance, 17 for 107 here. Meanwhile, Kareem Hunt, 10 for 32 in a rushing touchdown. Ford did have a catch for 2 yards, by the way, but he's still the preferred, even though Kareem Hunt's going to get some of those valuable short yardage carries. On the other side, up and down for Lamar, 223-1. He had 2 picks. 8 for 41. Again, this season, he just doesn't have quite that extra on the ground, but he's still really good. I'm not knocking him at all. Of course, the receiving touchdown went to Odell Beckham, but that was all Beckham did in this game. He actually didn't play that much. He ran 9 routes. Zay Flowers got back in the mix. They didn't need to use him last week, but 5 for 73 is okay. It's not amazing, obviously, but I'm always looking at, like, can I get to double-digit PPR points, and he did. Keaton Mitchell ripped off another long touchdown. This is what he does. 3 for 34 and a touchdown on the ground. Had a longer catch as well for 32 yards. 4 touches, 66 yards. pretty good. We'll talk more about him tomorrow, but Gus Edwards still the lead back. Had another rushing touchdown, 7 rushing touchdowns in his last 4 games there for him. Atlanta, Arizona. Kyler Murray's going to play this team out of that number one pick. It's already begun. They Arizona Cardinals win it 25-23, and Kyler looked just fine. Actually, really encouraging here. He doesn't throw a touchdown pass in this game. Did have an interception, but he goes 249 through the air, 6 for 33, and a rushing score on the ground. And at one point, he did top 20 miles an hour as a runner. Really encouraging for him coming off of that injury. And while he didn't throw any touchdown passes, he did connect with Trey McBride 8 times for 131 yards on 9 targets. That was the first time a Cardinals tight end topped 100 receiving yards since 1989, which is wild, absolutely wild. McBride is now sliding up. He's very likely going to be in that every week stardom tight end category here. Moving forward, not a good game for Marquise Brown. Only 1 catch for 28 yards on 4 targets. I'm going to watch back. I haven't gotten to watch this game closely when I do my coverage charting here, but I suspect that we may see some shadow coverage for him, and that could have been a part of this. I'm not worried about Marquise Brown. If anything, there's a nice buy low because, as I said, Kyler looked pretty good. James Conner, 16 for 73. That's all he was able to do here. It was a really tough matchup, but the good news is he was out there and really clearly right back to the lead back. On the other side, Taylor Heinicke, not good. He did throw a touchdown pass to Scotty Miller. Thanks. Great. Not good. Injured his hamstring. Could miss some time here. So back to Desmond Ridder we go. Ridder did actually help the team. I mean, it looked like they were going to win this game. Helps drive the team down the field. He scored a rushing touchdown in the process. But it's still Desmond Ridder. Nothing was doing in the passing game because Heinicke had 55 passing yards and Ridder had 39. London was back on the field, but 36 receiving yards for him, 30 for Kyle Pitts. This was really a game on the ground for Atlanta, though. We finally saw Arthur Smith just run Bijan. 22 for 95 and a rushing touchdown. That was welcome there. He had a catch for 11 yards. So still a pretty solid day, though, for Bijan Robinson. And, you know, probably the most interesting thing here, he plays 77% of the snaps. Tyler Allgeier just 26%. That's huge there for Bijan. Hopefully that continues going forward. Detroit and the Chargers, I feel for Justin Herbert. He did nothing wrong in this game. He had a tremendous game, 323 and 4 passing scores. He has lost 11 different times in his career when his team has scored 27-plus points. That's a record you don't want. I mean, this is shocking. They are, you know, so in NFL history, they're the 22nd team to score a touchdown on at least 70% of their drives in the final 40 minutes of regulation. And every other team that has done that has won. So the Chargers, the only team in NFL history to do that and not win. Justin Herbert did top 300 yards for the 25th time in his career. He is one game shy of Kurt Warner and Patrick Mahomes through 4 seasons in NFL history. And we're at the halfway point of the NFL season, so he's almost certainly going to catch them and likely pass them. Keenan Allen also doing some, you know, setting some records here. 15th career game with 11 plus receptions. He has the record, by the way, and now he just extended it. 11 for 175 and 2. They couldn't cover him. He was phenomenal. He was absolutely phenomenal in this game. Yeah, Jalen Guyton getting the end zone. Quentin Johnston getting the end zone. Austin Eckler rushed for a touchdown. Caught 4 balls for 48. Like, everything was good. It's just their defense is not good. And they have great players on that defense, so I just don't get it. I mean, I do get it. It's coaching, but come on. All right, on the other side, Jared Goff, 333 and 2. One goes to Amon-Ra, who basically did a dueling banjos routine with Keenan Allen, 8 for 156 and a score. The other one goes to Brock Wright. I know that stinks if you have Sam Laporta, but it is what it is. And Laporta, if this is his floor, 4 for 40, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs had 2 rushing touchdowns and David Montgomery had 1. Monty's was a long one. He goes 12 for 116 in the score. Gibbs, 14 for 77 and 2 scores. All of that is awesome, by the way. Gibbs had 17 touches. Monty had 12. when we look at participation, Gibbs, 58% of the snaps, Monty, 38%. Now, I don't know if this sticks. I don't know if this is just him coming off of injury. I don't know if it's this weird game script that was kind of like, you know, was shootout central. I have no idea. But I do think, at least going forward, I mean, both of them are high ceiling guys. We're going to be able to use them as RB2s, both of them. Very, very encouraging usage, though, obviously, for Jahmyr Gibbs. And we do see these rookies emerge down the stretch every single year. Giants, Dallas, I mean, it was pretty much what we thought it was going to be. The Giants couldn't do much of anything with Tommy DeVito. Oh, under center, 86 passing yards. He did throw two passing scores, for whatever that means. They were garbage time, so whatever. Saquon Barkley remains really good. It's just the team is terrible. He went 13 for 66. That's 5.1 yards per carry. There is a world. They're going to need some help, but there is a world where the Giants end up with the number one pick. Right now, that number one pick, it would belong to Chicago because Carolina has it, and of course they traded that. So Chicago is in the driver's seat here, but you know, if you're Chicago as well and you do buy into Justin Fields, which who knows if they do or don't, they could trade out of that spot like they did last year, but I don't know. I guess that's possible. The Giants could be picking number one, though. They very well could be. We'll see what happens there, but I feel for Saquon Barkley. On the other side, Dak is going nuts, 404 and 4. The four touchdowns, Brandon Cooks had one, CeeDee Lamb had one, Michael Gallup had one, and Jake Ferguson had one. Three of those four are straightforward. The Michael Gallup one is a little misleading. He goes 2 for 70 and a touchdown, so he's going to look good for fantasy purposes, but here's something that should be concerning. Route participation, CeeDee Lamb had 35. The player, the wide receiver with the second most routes, Jalen Tolbert, 28. He is ahead of Michael Gallup now. Just saying. Michael Gallup, not worth adding for me. Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb topping 150 receiving yards. And CeeDee Lamb, how about this? 150 plus, 10 receptions, and a receiving touchdown. He's done that in three straight games. First player in NFL history to do that. He also had a rushing touchdown, so he's the first player since Lionel James in 1985. We all used Lionel James in 1985 fantasy. 10 receptions, 150 yards, receiving touchdown, and a rushing touchdown because he did that as well. Rico Dowdle, if you think he looked better than Tony Pollard, I mean, garbage time, sure, I guess. The whole Tony Pollard thing, my concern, and I went back to some of the stuff that I was saying in, you know, July and maybe even early August. I thought that they were going to have another back in that backfield to have like sort of a two-man show because that's where Pollard really excelled last year. As this lead back, he's not excelling, so we do have to reevaluate because he was crazy effective last year. He's also coming. He had an injury. It wasn't an insignificant injury at the end of last year as well, but I'm not trying to make excuses or anything like that. I do think we need to just reevaluate where we are on Tony Pollard, unfortunately. And this is not a sell him if you have him because I don't think you're going to get anything for him. Washington and Seattle. This game was boring until the end, and then it was not boring. Geno Smith looked like he was going to be a really bad call. I had him ranked as a top five guy. And he ended up putting up some pretty big-time numbers. Like, I started him in a league, and I am not dissatisfied with it whatsoever. 369 and 2. He also ran one time for 13 yards. The two touchdowns going to Tyler Lockett. He had that late in the game. Early in the game, he did have the Ken Walker touchdown, the 64-yarder. Walker with 20 touches, 19 for 63 on the ground, not so good, but 1 for 64 and a touchdown, very good. DK Metcalf also getting involved a lot down the stretch. In fact, 44 of his receiving yards came on that final drive, but he goes 7 for 98. Not terrible at all. 12 targets for him. On the other side, Sam Howell continues to produce. 3, 12, and 3. That's insane. As of right now, he leads the league in passing yards. That's because Tua is on bye, but still, it's pretty crazy. I don't get it. I'm not trying to get it. I'm not trying to get it whatsoever. If he's going to keep playing like this, he's going to keep being a top 12 option, no doubt about it. A surprise game for Brian Robinson. Didn't do much on the ground, only 8 carries for 38 yards, but caught 6 balls for 119 and a score. Okay, I don't ever expect to see this again, but I'll take it. If you started him this week, good for you. Antonio Gibson continuing to be involved in the passing game, 5 for 42, caught a touchdown here as well. And the other touchdown went to De'Ami Brown, Sam Howell's former college teammate. Not much doing for Terry McLaurin. Better days will be ahead. Not a bad buy low, by the way, if your trade deadline. I'm in a league. Trade deadline is this week. So if your deadline's approaching, he's a prime target. Get him really cheap, right? Vegas and the Jets to round it out. Zach Wilson. There were times during this game where I said, hey, he doesn't look that bad. There were. He had a no-look pass. He had a couple of throws with just great anticipation that we had not seen out of him earlier in his career. He also ran 4 times for 54 yards. But when it's all said and done, they couldn't do what they needed to do to win this darn game. This was a field goal fest. It was not very entertaining. But all said and done, Zach Wilson has continued to do enough for Garrett Wilson to sustain value. 9 for 93 for Garrett Wilson on 14 targets. Tyler Conklin had 7 for 70 on 7 targets. We'll have to talk about him tomorrow as well. By the way, another good buy low would be Breece Hall, if you can get him on the cheap, because this wasn't a great performance for me. 3 for 47 as a receiver, but only 13 for 28 on the ground. I don't know how fixable everything is here, but if you're somebody who is hurting at running back and you can offer and get Breece Hall on the cheap, I don't see the harm in doing so. On the other side, Josh Jacobs rolling. Now, this was a Derek Dilemma type game because he had 27 carries for 116. That's good, but it doesn't do that much for fantasy, 11.6 points. He also had 2 catches for 11 yards. So the fantasy output doesn't quite match the production. That's fine. That's going to happen. The more important thing, though, 25-plus carries each of the last two. In fact, 26-plus in each of the last two with this new Antonio Pierce regime in place. Aiden O'Connell did enough. Now, the touchdown went to Michael Mayer, and it was a thing of beauty. It really looked like a Gronk-type touchdown reception, which was awesome. But more importantly, we'll talk more about Mayer tomorrow, 13 targets for Davante Adams. He caught 6 for 86. Not terrible. In PPR, you're talking almost 15 PPR points. I'll take that all day long. I'm just trying to get double digits out of every single one of my guys. And if we get there, I'm going to be happy about it. And that's what we got with Davante Adams. All right, so tomorrow we're going to be back. We'll break down the waiver wire for you. Not a spend all your fab type of week, but there are some interesting plays out there. And we're going to continue to trim the fat from our rosters, really load up for this fantasy postseason, which is now a month away. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And, of course, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.